Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk Chicago's 11th podcast. I'm John Zagluel, owner and operator of Sports Talk Chicago. And again today, we have another special guest. You might remember him from last time. It's Yanni Zantefis back again. Yanni, how are you today?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, no problem, man. I mean, you know, you look at our statistics for our views. Obviously, the viewers really like both of us as a combo, and it's nice to see that you were able to come back for today. And well, let's get the show on the road. First of all, just a few quick announcements. Remember, follow Sports Talk Chicago on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports. Follow my personal accounts and add me. Make sure to add me on LinkedIn and follow me on Instagram and my own, again, personal Twitter. So we're going to start off today with some horrible news. First of all, I'd like to read you a quote from the back of the For the Love of the Cubs. And again, that might give it away, but here's a quote. "The spirit and fan loyalty of the Cubs makes them the favorites of many people. I hope that reading this book will help both kids and adults understand what makes the team special." Signed by Ernie Banks. Again, last night, if you have not heard yet, Ernie Banks died. No cause of death was said, but he was 83 years old, so obviously did live a long and fruitful life, but still, a tragic passing for everybody, whether you were a Cubs fan, whether you were a diehard Sox fan. I mean, he was a baseball ambassador to all. He was an ambassador to the city of Chicago, and he will be missed by virtually anybody who had some sort of connection to him, whether you were a fan like me who loved watching his old highlights or whether you personally knew him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you basically just said everything that was right. You know, I mean, this guy was, you know, he was Mr. Cub. This was the guy, and he will be greatly missed. He was probably one of my favorite baseball players ever.
And also, here's some quick statistics on what made Ernie Banks just such a great player. 2,583 hits, 1,300 runs scored. Again, the big stat for him, 512 home runs. He is second on the Cubs' all-time list in homers besides the steroid-using Sammy Sosa. For RBI, 1,636. And again, 1,500 puts you in elite company. The fact that he had 1,600 puts him in even more elite company. And again, Banks hit a career 274, had a career OPS of 830, and again, won back-to-back MVPs in 1958 through 1959. The first player ever to win consecutive MVP awards. And you know what? He did that with the Cubs. And, you know, again, just adds on to his legacy. I mean, there are some other statistics, too, and just achievements. He was the first Cub ever to have his number retired. Also, he actually was the first African-American player on the Cubs ever. So, again, just, you know, unbelievable stats and just achievements to his legacy. And, again, as we said earlier, he will be missed. You know, with all these, you know, achievements and statistics, and also he was a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, everybody had a connection to him. Everybody loved the way he played. And again, Let's Play 2, another just very big, you know, cliche catchphrase for Banks. So just, again, just such a tragic ending. But, you know, the good thing is he did live a long and fruitful life. I mean, he was 83 years old. So it's good that he had all those experiences. And also, he's one of only 9 professional baseball players in the world to receive a Presidential Medal of Honor from President Barack Obama in 2013. So, again, just, you know, maybe he obviously was a great player, but you know what? He was also great off the field, and again, that medal certainly signifies that. So, this is basically a quick eulogy, but, you know, Ernie Banks deserves what he accomplished, and that should never be taken away from him. So, again, rest in peace, Ernie Banks. You will be missed. And we're going to keep moving on now. We're going to still keep talking about some Cubs news. First of all, the Cubs recently finished the Cubs convention last weekend. And also, some big news coming out of the Cubs convention. We heard Anthony Rizzo make a rather maybe subtle comment, but yet it was very powerful. He outright stated that the Cubs were going to win the NL Central. And again, most Cub fans know that that may not be the truth. But Yanni, what do you think of all of this?
Well, I think in terms of shooting for the stars, I mean, this is as high as you can maybe go. You know, and these guys, you know, this whole Cubs new farm and, you know, this new organizational system, they've really acquired some great young players. I mean, recently we heard they acquired Dexter Fowler, who's a great, I believe, outfielder. They've been working with Javier Baez on second base. They got, you know, Rizzo, obviously, and they've got, you know, John Lester. So they're, you know, his statement isn't so much as of, oh, you know, that's impossible. No, I think they can do it for sure. But I think as regarding winning the World Series, as some people are talking about, I don't think the series, but, you know, I could definitely see them winning the NL Central Division for sure.
And, Yanni, I do agree with that. And also, yes, we mentioned that you mentioned Dexter Fowler, and I got some stats and first some details on him. The Cubs acquired him just a week ago from the Houston Astros in exchange for Dan Straley, who, if you remember, came over in the Jeff Samardzija trade. So they traded him and another low-level prospect for Dexter Fowler. And Fowler is going to be the next leadoff hitter of the Cubs, and I am very excited about him. He averages 12 doubles a season, or 12 triples a season, 29 doubles, 150 hits, 90 runs scored. He averages 10 homers as well. And his OPS averaging 786 and a career on base percentage of 366. So, I mean, the guy is a true leadoff hitter. This is a guy who's going to hit 10 homers, hit 10 triples as well, get about 20 steals, get on base a lot, and that's what you look for in a leadoff hitter. And now when you think about it, I mean, that Cubs lineup is going to be stacked. You got Montero at catcher, you got Rizzo at first, Baez along with La Stella combining there at second base, and at short, you got obviously Castro. Third, you're going to have a platoon between Olt and soon-to-be Chris Bryant when he gets called up. They're going to probably move Alcantara to left field, put Fowler in center, and have Soler in right. So, I mean, on paper, that is a, you know, very productive and possibly World Series-worthy team in the years to come. And people also forget that, you know, the Cubs have actually good minor league talent. They have better players in the minors than they have right now in the pros. I mean, I was looking over an article the other day on MLB.com about the top 10 first basemen in the minor leagues, and I just wanted to say that Anthony Rizzo is actually going to be facing some competition. I mean, you know, there's number 9 on that list of top 10 is a Cubs first baseman named Dan Vogelbach, doing very well in the farm system. Also, the Cubs have another catcher named Kyle Schwarber coming up. So, there are a lot of good players still yet to be seen. And obviously, you know, we're going to see the Cubs do great things now with this roster, but I can only imagine what it's going to be looking like, you know, 5-10 years down the road right now. And that's when we could really be seeing the Cubs seriously contend and or winning multiple World Series championships. And we're going to stick with baseball now. We just want to keep on the topic, talking about the Chicago White Sox. And as of this weekend, Sox Fest is in town. The Sox at the Hilton Hotel in Chicago, talking about next season. And again, we're talking about the Cubs and optimism, but the Sox even have more optimism and less critics moving on to the 2015 season. I mean, you think about the White Sox, they're not based on waiting to see what's yet to come. They're in win-now mode. I mean, you see them this offseason getting Jeff Samardzija, David Robertson, Adam LaRoche. I mean, these guys are going to help them win right now. Yanni, what are you thinking about the Sox moves, and what do you think about next year, too?
Oh, you know, I'm actually very excited for the Sox as well. I mean, I'm not really a Cubs or Sox. I mean, I'm having a very difficult time on actually, deciding on which one I like to root for, you know, because I was a Cubs fan, and then I made the switch to a White Sox. So, I mean, I really love both of these teams, and I think in the long run, the Cubs are going to be there longer, but I think the White Sox, I think they're going to be the ones that are going to be better for sure next year. Not that the Cubs aren't, but I think that the Sox are going to be better of the two next year for sure.
Exactly, and also a quick kind of ironic statistic here. The Sox are celebrating their 10th anniversary of their World Series championship in 05 this year. So again, could be pointing some signs to a possible World Series appearance or win this year in 2015. Again, the 10-year anniversary. But again, you know, that is yet to come. But as Yanni was saying, I do agree that the White Sox, they're in win-now mode. They aren't waiting for anybody in their farm system. And although we are talking about Carlos Rodon right now in the farm system, Courtney Hawkins, some other big White Sox prospects, right now they have the talent, they have the firepower on that major league roster to do more than the Cubs this year. I certainly agree with that. But again, as you were saying, it's not that the Cubs are out of it, but the Sox, again, I think they're in a better position to win this year. Well, the Cubs, again, 2016, as I've repeatedly said for the past 2 years, that 2016 is going to be the year of the Chicago Cubs. Well, after that, after the horrible news of Ernie Banks, some other baseball news, we're going to finally get to some Chicago Bears news. And obviously, you saw the article about John Fox, happy to say that they got him, but also some coaching decisions being made earlier in the week. First of all, we have Vic Fangio, who used to be with the 49ers for the past 4 years, 49ers top 10 in defense in the past 4 years under Fangio, has now recruited and relocated himself over here to the Chicago Bears, so a big deal in that respect. Also, Adam Gase, the former offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos, who we all know had some great offensive years over the past 4 years, is now here in Chicago as well. So, interesting moves. Obviously, what people are saying now is that the Bears coaching staff is stacked, but again, that doesn't mean that the performance of the players is going to be the exact same thing. But what are you thinking about the coaching staff? What do you think, Yanni? I mean, obviously it's great on paper.
Well, yeah, I mean, Vic Fangio, Adam Gase, John Fox, those are the three main guys right here. I mean, this is great. I mean, as you said, Vic Fangio had very successful years in San Francisco, even though, you know, his, you know, the last season was pretty inconsistent. But he did not have Patrick Willis and all of these other key defensive players who all got either arrested for some sort of stupid DUI reason.
Exactly.
So, either way, the 49ers, this defensive coordinator knows what he's doing. He knows defense. Now, to Adam Gase. He's worked with John Fox for the past, I don't know, how many seasons?
Four
seasons. And I was reading on this article that he was actually, so back when Brandon Marshall was with the Broncos, he was the wide receiver coach at the time. Well, Marshall was suspended from team practices or something like that from having locker room issues. So I'm curious to see how these two are going to bond. And I think, well, now this is going towards Cutler now. I think that if they put on a show with how they did with Aaron Cromer and Mark Trestman, how that offense was atrocious last year, if it becomes the same thing, I don't think it's going to be the coordinator leaving. I think it's going to be Cutler leaving for sure this time. And going to John Fox, I mean, we're looking at a veteran here. He's going to get full respect from the locker room, unlike Trestman, where from day one, these players didn't have respect and they didn't want to play for him because this guy, he was all about numbers and, you know, all these kind of different scenarios, which is good, but this is football. These guys want to go out and kill the other opponent.
You know, and I always used to say, too, Trestman would be a good baseball coach. I mean, you know, he's thinking about all these different scenarios. That's what baseball is. Football is a hard-knocking sport. And again, trust me, he's a rookie coach. Nobody respected him. He also had a lack of accountability where if there was a problem, he just simply would not address it and wouldn't really, frankly, care, especially in the last games of last year. So it's nice to see some, again, sense of urgency, sense of accountability from the Bears' front office and especially from the McCaskies, the owners.
Well, yeah, and I also heard that the Ravens have taken Trestman as their offensive coordinator, which I found, I mean, I didn't find that very surprising because, as we heard, he was a coordinator and was successful in Canada, but people were still saying, you know, when we did get him, he wasn't head coach material. So, is he a coordinator? Yeah, sure, why not? I don't have a problem with that. You know, and he is under better terms going quarterback-wise, and, you know, so I think he'll be somewhat successful in Baltimore.
I do too, and you know, you see this all the time where head coaches don't pan out, and in general, I've heard this saying where not all coordinators could be head coaches and vice versa. I mean, you remember in the Chargers, Norv Turner, former Charger coach, now he's a coordinator doing successful. Trestman, probably going to do successful because he's an offensive-minded coach.
Yeah.
You also got Ken Whisenhunt. Remember, used to be with the Arizona Cardinals. Now he's a coordinator with San Diego. So not every head coach who is assigned to be a head coach is necessarily one. I mean, you know, you think about it, all these coaches have either a defensive or offensive-minded expertise, and the best coaches are the ones who are able to blend that offensive and defensive mindset into a nice, easy, flowing way for the whole team. So again, Trestman, we all knew coming into it, he was going to be an offensive coach, and obviously that did translate because the Bears went 8-8 their first year, and last year obviously an atrocious 5-11 season. So I'm sure he will have much more success being an offensive coordinator, not feeling the burden of being a head coach. He is simply doing offense, and that is his forte.
And one more quick thing here is, so I don't know if you guys remember hearing, but when Phil Emery and Mark Trestman were still in, you know, like the Bears organization, Mark Trestman didn't choose his coordinators. Phil Emery chose Mel Tucker and Aaron Cromer. What they're doing this time is, John Fox, he brought these guys in from himself. Ryan Pace was saying that he had some sort of influence and he was, you know, giving his own kind of input on these coaches. But other than that, John Fox pretty much had you know, main control on who he wanted to bring in. So I thought that is another huge plus.
And exactly, I mean, when you're the head coach, you should be able to choose your own, you know,
everyone that's like below you.
Yes, exactly. You should be on top of the hierarchy, but instead, in Tressman's case, he never even got the freedom to choose, and I'm sure that obviously contributed to the Bears' downfall these past couple of seasons. So we always blame it all on the head coach, but again, I still have respect for Tressman and the fact that I do not think these past two seasons were entirely his fault. I mean, no. We talked about locker room issues. Brandon Marshall, obviously a distraction. There's no doubt about that. And again, what you just mentioned too with the hiring situation. So let's just hope for a better and brighter tomorrow for the Bears. Hopefully next year we could see them at least finish 9-7, which would be just amazing in its own sense. Well, we're going to move on now to the Chicago Bulls, who have been in a slump as of late. I can't even watch them anymore at this point. I mean, they've lost, it's been like, what, 8 out of their last 10. They're just in a total slump, and they've been dropping some big games too. I know they recently lost to the Hawks. Yesterday, however, they did win 102-98 over the Mavericks, so it's nice to see them starting to rebound. But what's been going on, Yanni? Why are they losing so many games at a time?
Well, people have been complaining from Tom Thibodeau's, the way that he pushes his players, really. And they've been saying about how he overworks them. But he doesn't want to listen because he knows that in the long run that's going to pay off, really. Because, you know, when you think about it, when you work someone to their max and when you have them in the long run, they're going to be better. It's basically just like
Endurance training.
Yeah. So that's what Thibodeau is doing. And I think, you know, they got the win last night against the Mavs in Dallas.
Big
now,
win.
That was a great game. I watched every second of that game. Then they played the night before. They played the Spurs. That was a great breakthrough game at home for Derrick Rose
and
the whole
crew. Win.
They needed, I believe that was a 21-point win. I believe it was 83-104. That was a great game. So, you know, they're on a 2-game winning streak here. They're playing the Heat Sunday at 1 o'clock. At home here in Chicago.
That shouldn't be a problem at all, considering that the Heat are, you know, they're under 500.
Yes, we'll see about that game. But I think other than that, I mean, this is Tom Thibodeau. You have to keep in mind, I mean, Derrick Rose is, I mean, you could really just say this, the Rose is blooming now. I mean, he's really starting to get some more confidence. He's driving. He's making shots. I mean, I remember when we played the Wizards a few nights ago, and the first quarter was, you know, like starting, you know, like to wrap up. He shoots a half court shot.
Yeah, I saw
that. Quarter.
That was crazy.
I was like, oh my lord! And then in the Spurs game, he was driving to the hoop like crazy, you know, right past Tim Duncan and Tiago Splitter.
And he was the lead scorer in that game too, out of all the qualifying scorers.
Yeah. So I mean, their defense showed up. Their offense. I mean, these guys are. I think what we needed to get out of this stupid slump was Derrick Rose talking to the media about how he's just frustrated, and he did lay some few beeps in there, but I think he really woke up this team, and I think they're back on track.
Yeah, sleeping giant just awoke once again. And also, some other news, when we're talking about the NBA All-Star Game coming up next month, we have finally found out that Pau Gasol and Jimmy Butler have been named to the Eastern All-Star Team. So good for them. Obviously, they deserve it. Just wanted to mention that. Also, reserves will be announced soon. Interesting to see if Derrick Rose will be on that list. To be honest, I do not think so. Do I think he deserves a Comeback Player of the Year consideration, though? That is a definitive yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think there are also talks that Jimmy Butler would obviously get the award for most improved player. And I think it was either him or some other player from the Suns that I don't even know. But they're saying that that's most likely him. But yeah, comeback player, I could see it being Derrick Rose.
I mean, you know, Rose, he played 10 games over the past 2 years prior to this year. And this year, he's averaging double-digit points. I mean, it's like 17 points, averaging 6 assists. You know, you compare these stats to his rookie year, and they're almost uncanny. Yeah. And his rookie year, you know what? I'll take 17.6 assists from a product. That's a productive point guard.
And they were also saying that some people think he's better now than he was in 2010, which I fully agree with. Because look at him back in, you know, his 2010, his, like, you know, like his rookie year. He was more of a driver to the lane. Now, like, he wasn't really a three-point shooter, even a jump shooter. Now he's hitting threes. He's hitting jump shots, floaters, you name it. He's working on every aspect of his game, and I think he's just going to continue to improve from here on out.
Exactly. And, you know, I loved Rose as a rookie. I loved to watch him, but I always wonder why. You know, why isn't he taking these shots? He's always just driving to the lane. And then you saw his sophomore year, dramatic improvement over his shooting. And then even all the way up to now, I mean, he could hit that three consistently.
He could.
I mean, hey, 45% from three for a point guard, again, that's a productive statistic. So, again, watch out for the Bulls. I mean, although they have been losing, two-game win streak going in back here to Chicago to face the Heat. So if all goes well, we could be seeing a three-game win streak and hopefully a recovery in those Eastern Conference standings. We're going to move on now to the Chicago Blackhawks. Talk about them for a minute here. The Blackhawks, and they are on a little break for right now. I mean, obviously the All-Star game being tomorrow. But also some quick, just a standings update about the Hawks since we're at the All-Star break. The Hawks 30-15-2, so a very productive record, 62 points, fourth in the Western Conference standings. So right now, I mean, they're sitting pretty in that conference. They're only out of the top spot by 6 points. Yanni, what are you thinking about the Blackhawks' first half performance?
Well, so far so good. You know, I mean, obviously, I don't really follow the Blackhawks that much, but, you know, I have some respect for them, and I think, you know, they'll make a good run to the Stanley Cup this year, and they'll probably get close to it. I mean, that's all I got to say about the Blackhawks, really.
Yeah, and, you know, the Hawks, too, we were talking a Stanley Cup run, and I could see that. Obviously, they're going to make the playoffs, first of all. We could get that record straight.
For sure.
Hopefully, which it would be awesome to see them, you know, win it all again this year, and hopefully that will be the case. I mean, last year they were knocked off by the eventual champion LA Kings in the Western Conference Finals, so they came only one round away. Hopefully they could avenge that defeat, make it all the way this year. And judging by the talent that they have this year, which has been plentiful in years past, I think they have a chance to do it. Also, another quick note about the Hawks and the NHL, in fact. The NHL All-Star Game, as I mentioned earlier, is tomorrow. And four Blackhawks players will be representing Chicago in the game. On Team Taves, obviously run by Jonathan Taves, we have him as well as Corey Crawford as a goalie and Brent Seabrook there as well. And for Team Foligno, which is the opposing team, Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith. So actually five. And I'm happy to see that, again, you know, the Hawks All-Stars being recognized in this All-Star game. Just, you know, amazing to see that after all these years, the still same, you know, core five players who've been on the Hawks since their first championship run are still around and still producing for this 2014-15 Hawks team. And now we're going to move on to our closing segment, starting with the odd sports story of the day. And here's something that is kind of odd, but kind of cool, too. Ultimate Trampoline Dodgeball has its first national tournament in Los Angeles from November 9th through the 12th. So Rick Platt is the creator of Ultimate Trampoline Dodgeball, a variation of dodgeball in where the players play on the indoor courts where the floors and walls are covered with, yes, trampolines. So, I mean, personally, I'd actually like to participate in one of those games. I mean, what do you think? I think that's pretty cool.
Well, I think that's very cool. And I think there's this one trampoline place called Sky High here in Illinois. And I've actually been a part of trampoline dodgeball. And I got to tell you, man, it's really fun. Like, you're just jumping around everywhere. You're catching balls, you're throwing balls, this and that. I mean, it sounds really, really fun.
It does sound really fun. And, okay, we're going to move on now to our Punchline of the Day segment, and it's just going to be another sports joke that we usually come up with. And this joke actually talks about England and the World Cup this past year in 2014. So the question is, what's the difference between England and a teabag? The answer, a teabag could stay in the cup for longer.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, it makes sense. I mean, England didn't even get past the qualifier this year. What a shame for England. But anyway, we're going to move on now to our famed Announcer's Call of the Day segment. And, I mean, it's my personal favorite, and I've been hearing some feedback that it also is the favorite of others. So we're going to get a good clip for you guys to listen to right about now. And I'm going to set the mood for you here. So we got the Memphis Grizzlies against the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. Kings up 97-96 with 5.5 seconds. But hold on. The Grizzlies make a quick jumper. And with 2.5 seconds left, the Kings get the ball back, and something spectacular happens that I certainly have never seen until this day. Let's take a listen. And what a just miraculous play there by Evans after they got the ball back. The Kings at half court. Evans had the ball, just threw it up for his life to see if something might happen. The ball ended up falling in, a three-pointer, and the Kings won that game. I watched that game live. Just what an experience to see. And, well, that's going to be it today for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Our 11th podcast has concluded. Thank you all for listening. I truly appreciate it. And also, I'd just like to say again a few quick announcements. Follow us on Twitter at Chi Talk Sports. Follow me personally on Twitter, Google+, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Make sure to also hit up Yanni on Instagram and Twitter as well. Yanni, I want to say thank you again for coming on to be another second guest host.
Oh, yeah, John. It's always a blast. And, you know, just thanks for having me.
Thank you, Yanni. And so, anyway, please keep looking on the website for more articles and podcasts. I'm sure I'm going to be having an article soon about Ernie Banks and his legacy, so make sure to check back for that soon. But anyways, thank you all for listening. Oh, and one more thing. Tell me if you really like this podcast, or again, if you really didn't, let us know so we can improve. Thank you so much, and have a great night.